Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 305, Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Talking baseball for two more losses right now, and it has been a horrendous June for both of these teams after being on cruise control. I mean, just absolute cruise control. Yankees were, I think, 7 games up on Tampa Bay, down to 2. The Mets were 5.5 up on Philadelphia. Now they're down 2. And they are playing miserable baseball. The Mets have now lost 4 consecutive to the Braves and 9 of the last 10. And the Yankees lost the first series, the first game of the series to Cincinnati, and they have lost 8 of 11. And, you know, Anthony Volpe is terrible in this game right now. And I know, listen, he's become the guy. After Aaron Hicks, after Joey Gallo, after the third baseman's name everybody loved too? Why am I drawing up Donaldson? After we all hated Donaldson, you need a good punching bag, and right now Anthony Volpe, without question, is the guy everybody is turning to show their frustration with this Yankee team. And listen, he's been in an enormous funk. But there's a couple things I want to just dispel about Anthony Volpe. First, let me just get my obvious Aaron Boone defense out of the way. If any of you have any notion or conception of blaming the Yankees and Aaron Boone for giving him off on Sunday, after he got 3 hits on Saturday, I want you to do something for me. If you're driving, maybe you can try this, but if you're at home or something, I want you to just, you know, if you're wearing a hat, maybe if you're driving something, just take something, put it over your face and just scream into it really loud and then just be done with it, because it's a stupid thought. It's a stupid thought. If you have a problem, just if you're at home, take a pillow and just scream into the pillow really loud and then just like exercise it and get it out of you. Because to think that, to put this on the Yankees for sitting him after all of you, I was live at Fanatics Fest. I couldn't hear it enough. Everybody's telling me Volpe needs a day off. Volpe needs a day off. I don't understand. Why do we play him like he's Cal Ripken Jr.? You got to give him a day off. He weighs like 110 pounds soaking wet. Give him a day off. He's terrible right now. He needs it. Why does he have to play every day? I don't get it. Give him a day off. He didn't give him Saturday off because he has good numbers against Eflin. And he told everyone he was giving Anthony Volpe a day off on Sunday. Anthony Volpe comes through with a bloop single, a little dribbler, and the opposite field home run. And then, like, now they've got to change their plans and not give him the off day. Now you can't sit Anthony Volpe after all of you begged to sit him. And then I got to see the Foul Territory podcast put out a thing from this tweet really annoyed me. They put out a tweet because they had Clint Frazier on earlier in the week talking about, you know, the Yankees don't believe in hot or whatever he was talking about, all the nonsense, whatever. So Foul Territory puts out a tweet. Anthony Volpe goes 0-for-4 after a scheduled day off that followed a 3-hit performance on Saturday in which he homered. Clint Frazier might have been on to something. Are you watching the New York Yankees? Because let me ask you a question. Say you don't, okay, the Yankees don't believe in hot. Fine, the Yankees don't believe in hot. Are you telling me? Are you telling me that one day with three hits, a bloop, a little infield dribbler, and a home run opposite field at Yankee Short Porch, that is now hot? 3 for 28 is hot? To the point you got to play him the next day? After all of you begged to give him a day off? Please, and of course Marash put it out there too. He has taken so many L's with his baseball takes. Let's just be totally honest. Sean, if you're listening, Evan, if you're listening, you can tell him for me, shut up. Your baseball takes have been atrocious for a week. Atrocious. You're screaming that they didn't give Clark Schmidt an opportunity to throw a 130-pitch no-hitter. Congratulations, great. You could scream at the rain like an old man talking about pitch count. Okay, great. That's what they should do. A pitcher who can't stay healthy, who hasn't thrown over 100 pitches his entire career, go out there and have him throw 130 and have a no-hitter in the middle of June. Good, good. Okay. And now this, we're going to blame the manager for giving Volpe the day off everybody was crying for because he got a couple hits the day before, and now this somehow has put him back into the slump. First, let's just start there. Patently ridiculous. Patently ridiculous. And then the other thing that they were talking about in the broadcast about Anthony Volpe is the idea to sell out for contact, that he's swinging too hard, and because in the game he swings and lets go of the bat twice in the game. I mean, twice! He swings and misses and the bat goes flying. And the idea that, hey, you know, just go the other way, take your singles. Don't try and drive the baseball. Would you sign for that? And Paul's like, yeah, I'd sign for that right now. Yeah. Here's the problem with that. It sounds all wonderful. Anthony Volpe tried it last year. I don't know why they're not aware of it, why they haven't talked about it. Anthony Volpe played a completely different. His rookie year, he hits 20 home runs. He swings hard at everything. And because he didn't have a good batting average and because the home runs didn't always come there, he hit 20. Which is pretty good for a rookie shortstop. He changed his approach last year. He changed it to go the other way. His bat speed completely went down. He was swinging the bat less hard. He was selling out for contact. He was trying to go the other way, and he sucked. That's not his game. Like Paul O'Neill in the broadcast said, yeah, you know, do that and be him. No, swinging hard is him. Power and speed is kind of Anthony Volpe's game, believe it or not. He is not good enough of a hitter to just play like Luis Arraez. That's not his game. And then he picked up the bat speed in the postseason and had an incredible postseason. This is all well documented. Lowered his bat speed to sell out for contact all year long, struggled, decided, screw this in the postseason, I'm going to swing hard. Someone convinced him, and he had a great postseason, and now he's back to trying to swing hard. And by the way, for the first 2 months of the season, he was having a far better year. He was on pace for 20 home runs, 90 RBIs, and a 760 OPS. He's been awful for the last 2 weeks. Awful. God awful. And he's taking it out on his defense as well. He is struggling. I don't think his approach needs to drastically change because he tried it and he sucked at it all last year. This is who Anthony Volpe is. Swing the bat hard. Try and drive the baseball. Get on base a little bit more. Be a little bit more selective. And when you get on base, steal bases. But right now, he's just in a funk. He has been a completely...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Streaky hitter. He cannot find consistency. These are the streaks. He was on a good one last month. He was on a good 3-week good stretch. Now he's been terrible for 2 weeks. It's not what you want. It's not good enough consistently. And again, if this season turns out just like last season, if we, at the end of the year, Anthony Volpe has a 690 OPS and hits 220 and has an on-base percentage under 310, I'll tell you right now, he should not be considered the starting shortstop next year. I'm fully on board. Fully on board with that. But we've got to be fair, because up until the last 2 weeks, he was having a far better season. We act like he wasn't. He was. I said at the beginning of the year, if it looks like last year, next year can't be the starting shortstop. I was on record. They did a write-up on it. You can go find it on Twitter or whatever. I don't know. It's out there somewhere. I was talking about it. If Anthony Volpe doesn't perform better offensively this year, he should not be the starting shortstop next year. But he was. He was. And now it's up to him to turn it around. But if this season, I'm totally still on board with that comment. If this season, ultimately, the entire thing of it leads to another subpar offensive year, should not be the starting shortstop. And now I think his defense is being overly dramatized as being terrible. I don't think he's a terrible defender. I think he's got good range. I think he's made a ton of good plays. He's having, obviously, more errors this year. And clearly, while he's going through it offensively, he is dealing with it defensively. And he's not being aggressive enough. He was timid in the field last night. He let that high ball and take that second bounce instead of going to attack. It's the same issue he had in the Angels game, same issue he had last night. He is letting the ball play him. But Anthony Volpe right now is going through it. But please don't tell me he should have played the other day. Please don't tell me that. And then we have to recognize that he was playing better, and it's up to him to figure out a way to do it again. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Moshe and Woodbridge. What's up?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Great, great. Absolutely on board with everything you said about Volpe and all the offense and all that. It's just been terrible.
Yeah.
That's the last little bit. I had a complaint about the other day, the Yankees, the Baltimore game. They were trailing the whole game, ended up winning the game. But I actually didn't watch the end of the game because it was such a brutal game to watch. The Yankees had opportunities from today till tomorrow, and every time they just blew them. I wanted to complain about the Yankees got second and third, no one out. I mean, the guy before Judge got on, I think Judge walked and Ben Rice hit a double or something like that. Second and third, no one out, of the Yankees didn't score. It was like strikeout, and then they got like a nice hit, which doesn't help but two outs. I don't understand how that works. I mean, you have like almost every other team in the league knows you have second and third, no one out, you have to score. Okay, you don't hit a home run. You hit a ground ball to score a run. I feel like it's,
no.
Even when the Yankees don't score, no, I feel like they do that. But,
yeah, see, this is where like every other team in the league knows this. I just watched Albies with a runner at third and less than two outs pop up to the shortstop on consecutive at bats. Like we just watched it. Like, you make it sound like every other team does this without exception. It's just not true. It's about a 50-50 proposition through Major League Baseball this year. So, and the Yankees lead Major League Baseball in sacrifice flies. So, I mean, I totally agree with you that it has been a problem as of late, a major problem as of late, and it is not their strength. But this is where, like, you say, I don't understand. The rest of Major League Baseball understands this. No, they don't. No, they don't. They do the same stuff. We talk, oh, they don't bunt in extra innings. Watch the games. Nobody bunts in extra innings. I don't understand. First and second, why don't you bunt? Nobody does. Oh, my God, you can't get a bunt down. Watch other teams play. They can't get bunt downs either. They watch the last Met Braves series. They gave Verdugo first and second and extra innings in the bottom of the inning after the Mets didn't score, and he pops up. And they don't bunt him. And it's about a 50-50 throughout baseball scoring the runner from third. The Yankees have struggled with it. I'm not trying to tell you they're good at it. They do have the most sacrifice flies in Major League Baseball. That's not the be-all, end-all of that statistic. But I'm just saying, Like when we say, I don't understand, every other team understands this and does it. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't all do it this much better than the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees aren't doing something that nobody else in baseball is doing. They don't go up there with heavier bats and choke it up and look to just play slap ball. That's not what other teams do. Other teams do the exact same thing that the New York Yankees do. Plain and simple. Right now, the Yankees are particularly bad at it. There's no doubt about it. Right now, they're going through it. And when that situation comes up, it's in their minds. They're struggling. You watch the game. One, in the two spots that really happen with the runner at third, Dominguez isn't a good right-handed hitter. Plain and simple. He's not a good right-handed hitter right now, and he got beat on fastballs. And Stanton missed the breaking ball right down the middle, fouled it right back, and then fell behind, and strikeouts are a part of his game. That's just the reality is. Stanton strikes out. He also comes through in huge clutch situations in the postseason, but he struck out in today's game. And they had way too many strikeouts in today's game. Way too many strikeouts. And it seems like it's not that, you know, I think people say, oh, swing from the heels. And not every swing and miss is swinging from the heels. The idea that you can tell from, like, your eye that, oh, that's a contact swing and that's a power swing. Sometimes 3-0, but not every swing is some sort of, like, swinging from the heels with two strikes and nobody. And, again, they were talking about it on the broadcast. When they interviewed CC Sabathia, he was saying pitching can be a little bit easier in today's game because nobody has two strike approaches. It's not a Yankee problem, it's a baseball problem. The Yankees need to be better at getting that run in, especially right now, and they need to be better with runners in scoring position. But no, when we say, I don't understand, they're the only team who does, like I got a bunch of tweets, they are the worst. No, they're the ones you watch. They're the ones you watch. And I'm not expecting you to watch or that you should care that other teams. Just don't tell me. That's all. The Yankees are terrible. Good enough. Don't tell me they're the worst in all of baseball. They're not. They're the only team who... They are not. Everyone else can... No, they don't. The Yankees stink at it right now. Good enough. They're not the worst. They're not the only... It happens all the time to everybody. Bad base, and that's why I'm currently on like a kick of pointing out all the bad defensive plays and tweeting out Aaron Boone must manage them. Did you guys see O'Neal Cruz in Pittsburgh? Let a ball roll right by him and then didn't even chase it down in center field? Did you see Acuna get picked off, have a just an absolute mind-numbing decision and getting thrown out at third base to start the game for the New York Mets? Did you see how the Mets have played during this? All the base running snafus and poor defensive plays? Throwing behind the runners? These situations aren't unique to the New York Yankees. The thing that's unique about it for you is that you don't give a damn about the other teams. And I don't expect you to. And that doesn't mean that the Yankees don't have to be better. They have to be better at it. They have to be more fundamentally sound, especially when they're playing poorly. They were a lot of this season. They're not right now. All the things that have hampered them last year are back now that they're struggling. But they were fixed for the first 70 games of the season. They have to get back to playing that way. They, for the first 70 games, the least amount of outs on the base paths. For the first 70 games, far better defensively. Now, part of that is now DJ LeMahieu is playing second base. And we could have that discussion about why they're insisting on him playing second and Jazz playing third, because it is hurting them defensively on the infield. So that's part of the reason the defense has gotten worse, and that's not going anywhere unless they decide to make a change. But they've been a better defensive team all year. They've been better with mistakes all year. And again, with runners in scoring position, in April, the fourth best team, in May, the second best team. And that's not all just Aaron Judge. But right now, while they're going through it, they are struggling big time. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Yeah, and when you lose, all these little things are magnified.
That's it, they're magnified. When you're winning, you don't notice them as much. When you lose, they're magnified. There's no doubt about it.
You know, and it's easy, you know, you're gonna lose, you know, if you win 100 games, you're gonna lose 62.
Correct.
Okay? And if you won a heart on the losses, you know, that's, you know, whoever that is, not you, just in general, you.
Gotcha.
You. So be it, all right? But this is something, you know, the idea that a Met fan would say, how come they didn't go for starting pitching? Well, you spent just short of $900 million on Soto, mm-hmm, and Alonso, okay? So, you know what? Does he have a lot of money? Yeah. But you know what? I think he also is like, there's a certain degree of business involved with this. You know, how much can you throw? You know, how much are you going to throw at it? I don't. And it's not just that the Mets have given up 8 games in the schedule. It's that they've given it up mostly to the teams in the division when they're going head to head with them.
Yeah.
All right. That's another huge, you know, it's one thing if you're losing to, you know, if you lose a couple of games to,
it's in the Central or
the West.
And Steve, thank you for the call. I want to get to some others. It's also just the Braves. It's specifically the Braves. I know the Phillies, too. They've played well against the Phillies. They've played the Phillies 6 times. They've won 4. So they played the Braves 4 times. They've lost every one of them. And the Braves have owned them. And they play terrible against the Braves. And now it's become a thing. It's become a self-fulfilling prophecy. They don't play well against the Atlanta Braves. And I know the Braves are, what, now 10 games back and still struggling, and they lost 2 out of 3 to Miami in between these series with the Mets. Like, right now, for whatever reason, the Braves play their best baseball against the Mets, and the Mets struggle against the Braves. And Philly's been hot, but 9 out of 10, look, they've been bad. And you're right, they put all their money into this lineup. The lineup is supposed to be better. Nimmo's making money. McNeil has a contract. Alonso's making the most money of any first baseman in the league for this season. Obviously, the enormous contract and all the perks that go to Juan Soto and everything else, like Lindor and all the money he's making. This team, all the money is invested in the lineup. That's where it's supposed to be. It's most successful, and it's what's dragging the team down. Plain and simple. And my comments earlier, because I got a tweet on it, I'm not saying the Yankees are better than the Mets. What I'm saying is, I'll be honest, the concern that I have of how they're playing right now, my concern is a little bit stronger for the Mets, because what's killing them right now has not been good all year. That's my issue. The Yankees right now are struggling with runners in scoring position. They've been better at it all year. I gave you the numbers. They were the 4th best team in April, the 2nd best team in May, the 17th best team in June. If they were the 17th best team with runners in scoring position all year long, I would be like, man, this is a full year problem, and it's finally starting to hurt them. That's how I feel about the Mets. Runners in scoring position has been a season-long issue. Overall this year, they have the 29th best batting average in all of baseball. The 29th. Only the White Sox are worse when it comes to hitting with batting average or runners in scoring position. Only the White Sox. That's an all-year problem. The pitching has been so good, it's covering it up. Now the pitching is starting to falter, and it's rearing its ugly head and manifesting in losses as opposed to tight game victories. So it's not that I think the Yankees are better, that the Mets can't fix it and the Yankees can. It's just that what's hurting the Mets right now has hurt them all year. It just hasn't cost them losses. For the Yankees, what's killing them right now hasn't been an issue all year. The bad baseball, not an issue all year. And the struggling with runners in scoring position, not an issue all year. That doesn't mean it won't be moving forward. Hit me back up in a month and the Mets have fixed their runners in scoring position problem and the Yankees haven't, I'll have a different conversation about how I feel about the struggles. But all year long, the Mets have struggled with the runners in scoring position. The Yankees have not. Both teams are being hurt by it. That's why I would just say, if I had to tell you what slump I'm a little more concerned about, I'm more concerned about the Mets because they haven't shown me all year long they can do this. Andre in Queens. What's up, Andre?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. I called you Friday morning after the Mets got swept by Atlanta, and I had mentioned that this was a crushing blow to the Met organization. Remember?
Yes, I do, and I remember poo-pooing it.
Yeah. Now I want to say it's been, I think, a crushing blow to the Mets fan base.
What the loss last night? The four losses to the Braves? The 9 out of 10? What specifically? All of it?
Since that Thursday lost, I think.
There's no doubt. This is rough. I mean, and again, I think they will pull out of it. I think they're a very good team. They're clearly a playoff team. I still think they're probably the division winner. But there's no doubt. 9 out of 10 and getting your ass kicked by the enemy who's always kicked your ass, even though they're down and you're up. That sucks. There's no two ways about it. It sucks. And watching games like this where the offense is inept, as both fan bases are doing right now, it's brutal. It's agonizing. It's maddening. It pisses you off. It is a tough watch. So right now the Mets and their fan base, I could understand, are concerned. They're now 2 games back in the loss column in the division when they were up 5.5, felt like a week ago. And the other thing with the fan base, as you were saying, Andre, and thank you for the call, you know, and I'm not going to try and be the bad Yankee guy here. I really don't want to do that. But when we're talking about this stuff, like so much of when we're talking about how the fan base is affected, and maybe they don't even put this together, but maybe subconsciously they are. Like part of, you know, the reason the Soto chose the Mets is that, well, the future is so bright. It's not just the money, it's he chose the organization, and the Yankee farm system sucks and the Met farm system is so much better. And while, you know, there's still guys in the farm system, clearly we haven't seen all of their pitching prospects, and Jet Williams and everybody are still down there, not some of them not performing all that well, but we haven't seen them, we don't know. But right now, Alvarez was part of this new young Met team. He's got an OPS of 600, and he's been sent down to the minor leagues. Luis Angel Acuna, sent down with an OPS under 600. Beatty struggling. Vientos not getting off to the good start this year. Mauricio looking overmatched. Like, not only are they losing, but a lot of the idea of this organization having all of these big-time players coming up right now, who's been successful? Vientos last year, no doubt, and I still think he will be. I'm not overly concerned about Vientos. He just hasn't given it to you this year. He's been hurt. But I would think once he comes back, they're going to play him every day, because who else are they going to play? I would think they put him in the lineup and play him mostly every day at third, as long as he's up to it physically. But outside of Vientos, Beatty has not done it. Acuna has not done it. Not that he's even been given a real fair shake to play every day, but still, he's been brutal. Mauricio looks overmatched. And the top prospect in all of baseball, Alvarez, has been sent down. So while the Yankees sure have their guys who are struggling too, no doubt, but all of them have been far better than, I mean, Wells has been far better than Alvarez. Even Volpe's been far better. His numbers are far better than Alvarez's numbers. So that's part of it too. 9 out of 10 plus every young kid has failed and getting sent down. Spencer in East Windsor. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, after the game tonight on Twitter, and of course some friends that I know outside of Twitter, they sent me direct text messages. Mm-hmm. The messages were on the Yankees. This team does not look like a World Series team. I think you and I kind of think the same way. I am not a fan that likes to talk about the World Series in June. Yeah. I am not a fan. I'm not a Yankee fan that subscribes to the edict, win the World Series or the season is a failure. In fact, Chris, I really hate that edict. Mm-hmm. This is just the way that the season goes. We see it every season.
Of course.
You know, they're in a losing streak right now. For a guy like me that keeps things in perspective, a losing streak like this can really get you off your center. I think the first thing that I would ask my friends who made those remarks is, well, did you think they were a World Series team when they swept the Brewers? Did you think they were a World Series team when they beat Cleveland, when they beat the Royals? Because, you know, I'm on Twitter also. Mm-hmm. I see the comments.
Or when they beat the Mets, or when they beat the Padres, or, you know, yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I'm sure they didn't. And clearly right now, let's be honest, the Mets have just lost 9 out of 10. Do they look like a World Series team? Are you telling me that we can eliminate the Mets from contention? The Philadelphia Phillies, while playing well right now, lost 9 out of 10 2 weeks ago. Are they out of contention of winning a championship because they lost 9 out of 10? Like, it's just the Dodgers were swept by the Angels. Are they out of contention because they got swept by the Anaheim Angels in Dodger Stadium?
Like, yeah, when the Dodgers, when they started the season 8-0, everybody thought, oh, my God, they're just give them the World Series, just give them the crown right now.
Right.
Volpe, I'm okay, you know, the expectations for Volpe really have to change for our Yankees fans.
Absolutely.
I think there's still an element of fans, you know, they still hear the next Derek Jeter in their head. You know, they're still thinking that. In my opinion, he served the Yankees pretty well. Again, it's frustrating. You know, when he strikes out with runners in scoring position, I'm not happy about it. But he is a streaky player, and that's the way he's going to be. And his expectations are, you know, sometimes he's going to be okay. Sometimes he's not going to be okay, mm-hmm. you know. But the totality of the play of the Yankees has kept them in first place at this point. I'd much rather be in first place with a 7-game lead, but I'm okay with a 2-game lead also. And listen, don't forget, Tampa is going to play a lot of road games later on in the season.
Yep,
we'll see how all that traveling is going to affect them.
No doubt. You know, so. No, they. Thank you for the call, Spencer. They front loaded all of their home games to avoid the heat of Tampa and the weather of Tampa. They're going to play a lot of road games. And here's the other thing too: they're not going to add anybody. I know we're concerned about, well, this trade deadline. Who are the Yankees going to add? Who are the Mets going to add? I can promise you this. The Tampa Bay Rays ain't adding nobody. They don't do it. They never chase it. They don't care how close they are. They will never chase. They're not going to go out and add a significant piece to help this team. Not going to do that. They don't do that. They're not going to do it. So, and they're going to play a lot of road games. I don't believe they've had a West Coast trip yet. I'd have to double check that. I thought I read that. So like they got a lot of travel. I am, you know, I'm positive Yankee guy. I'm not overly concerned with the division. I think the Yankees are the best team in the division. I think the Yankees are going to win the division. I'm not overly concerned about it. We'll see. I think they're the best team. They're struggling right now. Clearly. There's no doubt about it. And yeah, the opinion, Anthony Volpe, we have to change what we thought of Anthony Volpe. He is not Bobby Witt Jr. I don't remember, and you know, maybe you can remind me, I don't remember the New York Yankees telling you or telling us that Anthony Volpe is the next Derek Jeter or Bobby Witt Jr. or the next young superstar, other than they didn't trade him and they passed on a bunch of big-time shortstop free agents because they believed in him and or Peraza. Like, that's it. And then they were super excited about him, and baseball perspective or whatever, baseball, you know, they made him the sixth best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. The Yankees didn't. They made him. They listed him as the sixth best player, the sixth best prospect in Major League Baseball. And then, yeah, the Yankees were excited. He had a good spring training, and we all had high expectations. But now we have to damper those expectations with he's not going to be a superstar player. That doesn't mean he can't be useful. Doesn't mean he hasn't been useful. And again, we talk so much about the postseason. You need gritty players. I heard some guy calling up Keith talking about, we don't have any gamers. We need some more gamers. We're lacking gamers. That's the problem. When's the last time we had a gamer? Where's the Scott Brosius's, the gamers? Well, Anthony Volpe had an 800 OPS in the postseason. He had arguably the most series-winning, defining hit against Cleveland with a base hit up the middle, Class A, to turn that into a big inning in Game 4. And then he hits the biggest hit in the one World Series game they won, the Grand Slam. He had an excellent postseason. So maybe the kid, ups and downs, ends up being a good postseason performer and becomes one of those gamers we're missing. 888-808-1019, but we'll see. We'll have to see how that goes. But I'm open to moving on from Anthony Volpe after this year or the next year. He doesn't have to be the guy forever. He's the guy right now. I am the man right now.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Woo! Yeah, all right, 344. McMonagle with you on The Fan. Got you for another hour and 15 or so, talking a lot of baseball. Obviously, I could yell about the Knicks every single day. I'm going to try not to do it. But we could always take your Knicks calls, as obviously the Celtics trade away Drew Holiday. A guy who was obviously huge for them, came over, his big shot-making defense. It's kind of been a crazy offseason already. It's just getting started. You knew the Celtics were going to kind of change who they are. I mean, the East is just wide open, man. The East is just wide open. And this coaching search is so important. It's so important to what they do. It's so important to figure out that they got the right guy there. This is such a key season for the New York Knicks. It is so enormously important. You cannot mess this up. And if you fire Tibbs and this thing becomes dysfunctional, it doesn't work, and this team's not nearly as good as it was last year, it's going to be a huge disaster. But let's think positively. Go get the right guy. I don't know who it is. I'm hoping it's still Jason Kidd. But they've got to find a way to make this plausible, because, you know, I just don't know what the East looks like right now. We saw Halliburton have successful surgery on his Achilles. The East is wide open. Go take it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Oh, the season just drags on, Chris, with all this people falling asleep, Volpe with the errors. I mean, yeah. Come on.
No,
I mean,
Volpe had another bad play.
Right, and the thing is, it doesn't look like it's going to get better before it gets worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But
I don't know. They won the last series they played. They took two out of three out of Baltimore.
The first series.
I know, but they didn't.
Uh huh.
But I mean, but they just won the last series. Like I'm just saying. They're 3-8 in their last 11 games. So I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like they. The Baltimore Orioles have, and they won again. They won last night.
I know they won.
The Orioles have one of the better records in baseball over the last two or three weeks. They've started to turn it around, and the Yankees did take two out of three. Came up with the clutch at bats late in the game, won a game. Mm-hmm. And they've continued to pitch well. Like that's the one thing that's keeping me kind of positive through this is the pitching has been really good.
And the Knicks head coach, you want Jason Kidd?
I do. All the options I've heard so far, yes, I would like Jason Kidd.
Well, what about, you know, I don't disagree. I think Jason Kidd would be a good fit, but is Dallas going to just stay here?
No.
Or are they going to have to give them something in return?
No, you have
and
to
who
give...
would that be?
I don't know, second round pick or something.
Right.
They got to get to the point. It's got to get to the point that Jason Kidd wants out, and Jason Kidd rattles enough cages, and Jason Kidd tells them, "Look, we could fight about this, or we could just. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be a Nick. Let's just. What are we doing? Like, why?
Would you take Jay Wright?
Of course, that was my first guy. I would take Jay Wright, but we keep having this conversation. I feel like you bring up his name every time. He's not interested in the job, as far as I know. So, yeah, I would love Jay Wright. He doesn't want to take it. He's not considered a candidate right now. He's taken his name out of the running. I don't know if they ever considered him. Or I can go on. Like, I can tell you I want Jay Wright. I can tell you I want anybody. It doesn't matter. It's who the Knicks are talking to. Right now it feels like if they could get Jason Kidd, that would be their first choice. And I still hope that that's the case, because
Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown don't exactly do it for me. And I don't know where they're going next after those two. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Chuck in the truck. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, Mac?
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to, man, I think, you know, one of the main person here, I think, that gets away with not getting any criticism. I was going to say the M word, but I don't know if you can say that on the radio. It's Mr. Stearns, man. You know, the things that you said about this lineup are true, you know, painfully true. And, you know, I've said all season that this lineup and this offense was only going to be as good as the bottom half. You know, we had decisions, head-scratching decisions, like not bringing back a veteran guy like Iglesias, you know, not bringing back guys like Quintana. And you're right, like you rush out, you spend $17 million on a Frankie Montas, and you have one of the best hitters in baseball just recently get dumped for peanuts. You know, what does this Met lineup look like could complete it? Rafael Devers.
Oh, Rafael Devers, right, yeah.
You get Devers dumped for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But what does this Mets lineup look like if you got Lindor 1 and Soto 2 and Alonso 3 and you can finally give him some protection with a guy like Devers, who, granted, is making 30-something million, and I know people are going to say the money, but if you look at how the money is spent, you give Montas $17 million. You take that away, you bring back a guy like Quintana for $4 million. You got a guy like Jesse Winker you could trade who's making $8 million. A guy like Ryan Stanek is making $5 million. You remove those pieces or you send them over in the trade and you kind of equal out to about what Devers is making.
Yeah, well,
a
couple things. One, I don't know if Devers, like, they didn't really shop Devers. It's not like, you know, they found a taker looking to eat all the money and moved kind of quickly. I'm not sure how much the Mets had an opportunity to make that deal. And the Red Sox wouldn't want anybody that you're talking about. Like, you're not going to give him Stanek. You're not going to give him, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't really see the difference between Winker. Him and a guy like I don't see the difference. But I'm just saying, like, with the pieces they got, I don't really see a difference in Stanek and Jordan Hicks. And maybe the Mets could have given them something a little more attractive, like a Beatty, like some of those young guys.
Yeah, again, but they weren't.
You know, and
again, it's hard. I don't disagree with you necessarily that I would be very open to trading for Devers. I mean, I don't know how good the contract's going to be. You know, you kind of got it's a long term deal. Where does he play? You got the idea that eventually it feels like Soto is bound to be a DH. He's clearly a DH. It's not a perfect fit with the Mets, but again, you're making it sound like the Mets passed on some sort of offer. The Red Sox weren't out there offering trades. Like, it wasn't shopped.
No, I'm not saying that they passed on. Okay, but, well, how did San Francisco get them?
I don't know.
I mean, somebody's being aggressive.
Yeah, somebody was aggressive. And the Red Sox called them because they wanted Hicks and they wanted to move him as far away as they could. Like, I it's hard for me to get on the Mets for not trading for Rafael Devers. If that's the crux of your call, I have a tough time just saying, what the hell were you doing not trading for Rafael Devers? If the Boston Red Sox said, hey, everyone, Rafael Devers is available, come talk to us, and there was a bidding war or something, I would expect the Mets to make phone calls and see what they could get and what they could do. Again, it's not a perfect fit for the Mets necessarily. He can't play first. He would have to play third for the Mets, clearly, or DH. How long does that work? It's a long-term contract with a lot of money for a guy who wasn't very happy to be pushed around, to be moved around. Now it's worked out in San Francisco, and he seems to be happy. You don't know how it would have felt with the New York Mets. Look, they don't need Rafael Devers. That's not the biggest issue with this team. But it would have helped, no doubt, of course.
Evan did a good breakdown on the Rico when the Devers trade happened because, of course, Mets fans jump all over this. If they made that trade, it means you are not even talking with Pete Alonso in the offseason.
Correct.
You're making it for this year to have them both, and then you're just letting Pete walk after this season.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, I doubt very much you sign Pete Alonso and Rafael Devers because Pete's maybe on his way to being a DH if you sign him to a long-term deal. Obviously, Like, yeah, for this year would have made sense, but moving forward, it just doesn't. It's not the greatest fit for the Mets, but it would help the offense. Right now, they got to figure out something. Tommy in Astoria, what's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. It was nice meeting you at the Fan
Fest. Yes, nice meeting you at the Fan Fest. We had a lot of fun. It was a great day. Yeah. I appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, that Seth Rollins moment was classic. Seth Rollins was there, and everybody just got up and walked away.
Yeah, I know. Everyone was sitting there watching the show. All of a sudden, Seth Rollins, I think I was screaming. I was like, where are you going? We're having a very interesting conversation about Anthony Volpe's swing. Yeah. Why the hell would you want to go see Seth Rollins?
Family. My daughter ran away. She said, where are you going? She said, Seth Rollins. I said, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm very aware of who he is.
Yeah, but the whole thing with the Mets, and you put up Devers and the whole Stern thing, you know, you have to develop, you have to hit with your own players. I'm not saying all of them, but it just makes such a difference for the organization in the long run. That's what made Yankees' year so big last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if Beatty and Mauricio and Acuña, if none of these kids click, that's a big hit to take. And then when you think about even this kid, Drew Gilbert, who's like 25, and they had high hopes on him this year. He's hitting like 210 in AAA. If he was having a good year, he'd be up there instead of Young. And even like Sproat, that kid like Sproat, he'd be up there taking a spot start. But yeah. He's regressed.
Yeah.
So Stearns is in a tough spot. But I can't kill Stearns because, like I talk about with Fleas all the time, you know, it's his second year. He's got one draft under his belt. He inherited all these guys. He's still assessing all these guys. Their failures isn't on him. I mean, you know what I mean? And even like Marte and McNeil and Nimmo, these tough contracts, these veteran players, he inherited a lot of this roster, you know? But that said, I don't understand like Jared Young being in there. That makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I agree. They have a guy on the team right now. They don't even have to call up anybody to like, just play Marte. That's the answer right there. They like, you don't have to be like, oh man, there's nobody they can come call up and play. No, they have a guy on the roster right now who should be playing every day over Young. And yeah, look, you know, Sproat's the kind of starter where I think the Mets talked about this, as Fliegelman said in my ear. Like, he's not the kind of guy you want to bring up and spot start and then send back to the minor leagues. He's the type of prospect, when he's ready, he makes his major league debut, and you want him to theoretically at least have an opportunity to really stay in the rotation. You want to call him up, and now he's here. And that's why Acuña, I always, at the start of the year, I thought, leave Acuña down in the minor leagues, because I don't think he's ready for that. I don't think he's, okay, now you're going to come up here and play every day. The spot wasn't there for him. He hasn't had enough development where you felt good about that. Now you're seeing that he hasn't performed in the spot starting that he had early on in the year, and now he's back to being a pinch runner and a defensive replacement, and they sent him down. And that's why I laughed, you know, and I don't often get into it with Met fans. I don't. And, you know how I feel about Juan Soto. I'm pissed off the Yankees didn't sign him. I'm not bitter about him. I root for him still. People can't understand that. Whatever. But my pushback was, oh, you know, the Mets organization is in such a better place. You sure? Like, and if Juan Soto felt that way, I would say to him, are you sure? Yeah, the owner's rich. Yeah, David Stern's very young, very smart. This stuff happens. Oh, their farm system looks so great. Yeah. The Yankees have a track record, whether you want to talk about it or not, and clearly they have had their issues developing young players as well. No doubt about it. Absolutely. But they have a track record of being a team that competes for a championship every year for 30 years. Every year for 30 years. The Mets have been the highest payroll in the sport for the last four. They couldn't get through two seasons as the highest payroll before they fell on their face and had an under 500 season. They couldn't get through two. The New York Yankees have gotten through 30 without doing that. I'm not saying the Mets don't have good prospects. I'm not saying all these guys have been sent down, will never come back up and perform. I'm not saying that they can't be good over the next handful of years. But to just blatantly say, well, the Mets are in a better position, clearly. Who could say otherwise? How could you say the Mets franchise isn't better off? Okay. Yankees don't have a track record of success. No. They're in a terrible spot. Terrible. They were in the World Series last year. Oh, it's awful.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.